Good morning, everyone. I just want to thank you all for coming and participating in this important process that we're doing today. Margaret is the chair of our personnel committee, so she will be facilitating today's meeting. Actually, she'll be facilitating the meetings today, even later. So I know that we have a lot of great questions from the staff, and again, just want to thank you for taking this seriously and participating with us in this important decision-making process. And good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
And I will now turn it over to Margaret to get things rolling.
Okay. And Rob's here with me. He's on the personnel committee too. So we have tons of questions, Deborah, for you. And we will get through as many as we possibly can. These are all questions that came from staff only this morning, and then this afternoon, this evening, will be questions from the community. So we'll do the best we can to get through as many, just so you know, Deborah, I don't know if that makes a difference in how long you want to spend on questions, but we have plenty to fill an hour.
Okay.
I have at least 2 or 3 dozen, so.
Okay.
But we start with up to 10 minutes of you just kind of introducing yourself and really just saying what you want to say to the staff. And the community is here too, but really this
I see that. Thank you. Yeah, I see the members of the community here. Thank you for being here and wanting to share this time with me. I thought the question first would be, why would you want to be the manager? That might be a question that would come up. But I thought that I would first start by telling you that talking about the role of the manager in a municipal borough. The manager form of government, of course, is defined by state law. And what distinguishes it from a mayoral form of government is that the manager has the authority for the supervision and evaluation of staff. And essentially, that's the only difference between a mayoral and a managerial form of government. So that's like the major function, I guess, that a manager provides. But in addition to that, they primarily execute the directives and the policy that are set by the assembly. So in that capacity, the manager is an advisor to the assembly through research and providing to the assembly options and exploration of policy issues and being able to present to the assembly the arguments for governing the community and establishing policy and setting ordinances. Administration, it's not political, I understand that, and even though I've taken many political positions in the community, I certainly appreciate that administration is not a political function, that it is a leadership function, or a leadership position, in the sense that you align the community, its values, its input with the assembly so that they have the largest broadest appreciation for what the community is looking for in its government. And in that role, the manager works with staff. So it's not really triangular, you know, it's not like manager, staff, assembly, but it's more of an integrating function so that the manager tries their best to bring a cohesion to the elements of citizen, elected officials, and staff. My leadership philosophy is to always take advice, but take responsibility. So whenever I've worked with the staff before, staff doesn't hang out there taking the brunt of bad decisions. The decisions are always the responsibility of the manager administrator. And even though the input is sought and no decision is ever made without the inclusion of the resource available to the manager from the staff and from the community, yet it's kind of like that buck stops here kind of thing. So I think that in that regard, the most important feature for a good leader manager is accessibility. Have to be accessible to the staff, have to be accessible to the community, have to be accessible to assembly members, because you never know where your best advice is going to be found. You know, you can't assume that you know, I can't assume that I know what's best. I know this community is full of incredibly resourceful people, and I don't know when the best idea is going to pop up and from where it's going to pop up. But being accessible is paramount. Being approachable and also being appreciative. And I think that's a very important aspect of a leader. Decisiveness is important. As I said, always looking for input, always looking for people's opinions. But there's always a time when a decision has to be made. And that's always a difficult thing, because I know a lot of times people feel that if somebody makes a decision, if a supervisor makes a decision that doesn't reflect the input that you have given, you feel bad. And I understand that. I've been in that position myself. But for the person who is responsible for making the decision and has to carry through with that to the end, that's a very important thing that I just wanted to share with staff, because your input would always be solicited, it will be heard, it will be considered, but unfortunately it may not be the ultimate decision that's made. So, appreciative though is again very important. So ethical, trustworthy, and moral. I think those are other things that I use in my own life to guide me personally, and also I think professionally, especially when you're part of an organization that is people. That's all that we have for each other, and we have to see each other, respect each other, and work together. I'm not going to say necessarily as a team, because that gets overworked sometimes, but I do think that we're all in it together. I guess that's the way I would like to put it. We're all in it together. My experience, how many minutes have I used up? I don't want to use up more than 10 for sure. Really? Okay. In my experience, I've always been engaged and involved in government ever since I was in high school. I went to college when I came back. I went to college at Sarah Lawrence out of New York City. I worked at WNET. I became very interested in communications as a career, and I did follow that WNET in New York City. But I did return home one summer and fell into the small girl town problem of mom and dad needed help with some issue, and I allowed my interest to kind of take second place. And I stayed at home and have involved myself in family-owned businesses and other things that have taken up my curiosity and my interest here in the community. And so I've spent basically my entire life building community and building business and building and working in the government. My first job in the government was city council in the 1970s. I was served a term there. I've served on the Borough Assembly, but my first job was with Robert Venables. He hired me as an assistant, and I worked for 6 years on a contract basis. Then through Mark Ernest, I took on a job there, which was a paying position. But I quit it because it didn't pay what I thought I was worth. And I don't know if that was a mistake or not, but At the moment I made that decision, I felt it was the right thing to do. But so after that, I, as you know, worked on the assembly. I do have visions for the community. The reason that I am interested in this job is because I did feel as a consultant or an employee, and then even as an assembly member, those positions are really incredibly difficult to get done what you'd like to do, because the processes are constantly churning, and not having the ability to make the decision oftentimes diffuses the goals or the vision. And the things that I would like to see in the community that I think that I'm going to be able to affect is a stronger positive connection with between the government and the community. I think that that's one of the things now that that we as a community recognize, that there's a lot of turmoil, there's a lot of contention, and I think that I can help to bring together and to explore some of the differences that we are experiencing and find some common ground. I do see that there's efficiencies that we need to effect in our government. Planning is a really important thing. I hope that Holly was here today, but I think streamlining the comprehensive plan so that it's a document that we can use more effectively would be something I want to do in the code revisions that we already have a community group working on that, but that's an interest of mine. I was a co-chair with Dave Berry on the consolidation working group in the early 2000s, and I know that we didn't do the best job that we possibly could, and I know, as I know our clerk will attest, there's lots of things in code that could be restated much more efficiently or effectively. So I'm anxious to work on that. My biggest challenge, patience. And I don't know, I think that a lot of women know that about me. And that's something that I work on every day. Try to get up in the morning and be well with the world, whatever is presented. So with that, let's present some questions.
Okay. And so if anybody has any questions throughout, if you want to raise your hand, we'll try to take questions here. But we have lots here, and there's more note cards up here if you would rather write them down. Please describe your experience supervising staff, especially your experience supervising a staff of supervisors.
My experience in supervising staff has been only in the public radio system. The largest staff that I supervised was in Barrow, and I think at that time we had a staff of 15. There was a news director and a program director. I have also supervised staff at KHNS. That was in the early 80s. That staff was smaller, but it did have supervisory staff. So if the question is whether or not I can appreciate the hierarchy of an organization and allow supervisors to supervise their own staff, yes, I'm not a micromanager by any sense. My supervisory style is to basically meet one-on-one, to discuss issues, to discuss problems, to make supervisors aware of issues that I can see in the organization, and then it's like go forth and do what you need to do. Is that enough of that explanation?
And I think you also answered then what was the maximum number of people you supervised at one time.
I think it was, did I say 15, 16? Yeah.
Okay. What is your philosophy of working with current staff and hiring new staff?
Would you repeat that?
Sure. What is your philosophy of working with current staff and hiring new staff?
I touched on that a little bit. When you say the current staff, obviously, I thought about this. I don't really think it's going to do us a lot of good to speak in theoretics. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know me, I know you. I mean, most not intimately by any sense, but you know, we're people who know each other every day. People have a reputation. People have friends and associates. We know that. So, my philosophy for working with current staff is to engage you in the relationships of, you know, a professional relationship, but to also have an appreciation for what it is that you know, your connections to the community and your own personal needs that you have professionally and personally in your job and in living in the community. I'm very interested right now in what each staff member perceives could make their workplace better and the their own functioning. What do they need to be more supportive to be the best that they can be? I think that's a very important thing. That I don't like to see anybody feeling that they're trapped in a job. I think that everybody is in a job because they, especially in government and in professional positions, you're there because you have something to express. You're there because you've studied that thing, you like that thing, whatever it is, and you have the opportunity to be, and the right to be nurtured and mentored and do the best that you can do to realize the job as you think it should be done. There was a second part of that question.
In hiring.
Oh, hiring.
What's your philosophy of hiring?
I hadn't really thought there was a philosophy around that, but I think that, first of all, and I know this is really, it's not a trick question, but I recognize fully that the situation that we are in right now in this community is it doesn't come as an opportunity very often, where you have qualified people filling in jobs and you have somebody else coming in. Do I think that the process of promotion from within is a good way to approach hiring? Oftentimes, yes. Does the government get muddled in the public process of like having to advertise and see how many other people are there out there available to apply for positions? Well, we're in that position right now, and it's I know it's caused a lot of consternation in the community, and I'm sure it has among the staff too. I can appreciate that. My philosophy still would be to hire the person who is best for the position after a series of interviews, much like we're doing in this process right here. So that would be my answer.
Anybody have any questions out here right now?
Yeah, I just wanted to expand on that. So the Haynesboro has a reputation and does have a high turnover rate. What is your insight on how you would curb that or help retain staff?
Okay, I need some help right now because it seems to me that other than this managerial position that's circulated a couple of times, and the police department, and I got up this morning and I thought, okay, Deborah, get ready. And I thought the entire police department and the entire public works department standing here in the room. I thought, boy, this is going to be something. But so I'm unaware that there's a lot of turnover in other places in the.
Economic Development Director.
Oh.
And my position has, I think, a 3-year lifespan usually.
Mm. Well, that's usually because it's so exciting you get hired by somebody else, right? So in that position, it would be probably, well, I always believe in exit interviews, for one thing, to find out what is it that's ongoing. But hopefully you'd never get to the point where you're interviewing somebody at the last minute. I mean, you should know all the time. I think a manager's responsibility is to know at all times how people are feeling and working in the jobs that they are in and what they need to, like I say, what they need to do the best job that they can. So I don't really know. The idea of salary levels always comes up as a reason for turnover, especially in the police department. That can be fixed. But I think communication is the strongest thing that ties a group of people together. And if we're aware that people are unhappy, try to address those issues, as they come up in a most expeditious manner, I suppose. So just staying connected with people and their attitudes about their job, I think that's the way to maintain people's happiness and willingness to stay in the position. That's all I can say right now.
This next question was asked several different ways, so hopefully this covers all the questions.
Okay.
Haynesboro employees are paid well below median wages for municipal employees. I didn't fact check that, but I'm sure. I think it's true. As a manager, you will represent the interests of the Haynes residents through the assembly. Do you think it is in the best interest of Haynes residents to pay borough employees fair wages?
Of course. Right. Right. Absolutely, everyone should be paid a fair wage. I mean, I understand I was a person that left a position because I didn't think that I was being paid fairly. And that bugged me after a long period of time. So I can appreciate that. I know that there's a bargaining unit. I have never participated in the negotiations at any time when I was on the assembly. My understanding is that the Brad just, it was just negotiated here this last year, right? So it's three more years of the contract right now. So I other than reading the payroll of scale that's in the budget packet, I really don't know what was involved or entailed in, reaching those salary, wages, and benefit packages. I really don't know. But, of course, I would think that it would be, to say that, no, you should not be paid fair wages, that doesn't take me anywhere except in a bad place. But I think that what's important is to go into negotiations, understanding what do people need, not only in the tangible, but what does one need also intellectually for satisfaction in your job. A lot of research, I think, probably needs to go into that, and I'm sure the Alaska Municipal League and other sources for that kind of information is readily available. I am aware that there are reports of salary wages in different communities, and Haynes is always, maybe not always the lowest, but is generally in a low area. The politics of raising money for borough functions is, that's not what the manager does, but the assembly is in charge of that. But it is a budget process, and the manager does have the ability to propose a budget that could certainly provide for different pay scales, but it has to be, as long as there's a union, that has to be dealt with through the union. I mean, a manager can't just decide to make fair wages all by themselves.
Sure. So, Alana, it's my question of how do you view the role of unions?
Pardon?
How do you view the role of unions as a...
How do I view the role of...
Unions.
Of unions. Well, the union is... It's a bargaining unit for employees to, with the idea that collectively the voice is stronger, collectively the government or any employer is, how do you say, it's a stronger voice to the employer. Personally, I am more of a meritocrat. I don't know what the word is. I'm not opposed to unions. I understand that they are viewed by groups of employees as a good thing generally. And that's why they are there. People join them and stay with them. But in my own personal philosophy. I would think it would be interesting to see how the government could function and how the staff could function without a union. I'm not saying that, you know, it's, we don't know. We've had a union for I don't know how long, 15, 20 years maybe. And so it does, the public employees union does serve a purpose of bargaining for the collective. Is it always, does it always come to the a good decision for every employee? Apparently not. I mean, let's face it, we wouldn't have a dissatisfaction that we have among the staff if the union got everything that the employees individually wanted. But whether that ever happens, I don't know. But, you know, in terms of working with the union, that's the reality, so we work with it. I'm certainly not a union buster, you know.
Anybody have any questions?
So, Deborah, we don't have a human resources person. Mm-hmm. And we have a personnel officer. And in borough code, that personnel officer is the manager. And before I came over here, I looked at it to see if there was a definition in borough code as to what that entailed. I didn't find anything, and there may be something out there, I don't know. So for employees to talk to somebody about issues they're having, that's very difficult.
I can see that.
So what is your take on that?
The manager becomes
the personnel officer. Mm-hmm. What that means, I don't know.
That's a tough situation. I can see that. Because the manager at the same time is representing the assembly,
the manager committee. Oversees mm-hmm. certain departments mm-hmm. and therefore oversees mm-hmm. certain department heads. Mm-hmm. How do employees?
Well, yep. You know, Tina, that is a problem that, and I guess I hadn't really spent a lot of time thinking about that, but it needs to, it certainly calls for a big heart and a big mind, you know, to be able to hear the concerns. And I will share with you, you know, one of the things that in the history of the borough, I was an assembly member at a time when the police department, the dispatch especially, was having a difficult time. And people came to me, staff members came to me, took it back to the manager. The manager dealt with it. I'm sure not without great difficulty. I don't know, you know, it seems to me that might be something that would require a discussion, you know, much like we're having right now, about appointing someone other than a manager be a personnel officer, and how would that work in the organization as a whole? I don't know, but I can appreciate the problem.
It's a difficult situation.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. And it seems like a built-in difficult situation, you know? I mean, that's one of those things that you can't just say, oh, get over it. You know, it's a system. That's a systemic problem when you have your manager as the personnel officer. So maybe we do need to explore having a human resource person who's apart from, much like, what is it they have, the ombudsman, you know, for the state or something like that. So,
Okay, halfway through. So.
The questions or the time? Oh, okay.
We might be getting halfway through the question. So that leads into a good question that we have here that was asked a couple different ways. So how do you view the manager's role in staff evaluations? And any recommendations you have about evaluation processes? What experience do you have in personnel management, including evaluations and grievances?
Lots. I love evaluations. I do. I love them as an employee, and I love them as a manager, because there's evaluations that are informal, and then there's evaluations that are formal. And I presume that the question might come to formal evaluations. I would not ever want an evaluation to be a surprise. Communication needs to take place continually in the process of a person's work. And so the evaluations, sometimes they can take place just in terms of a chat. If it's something that's, you know, needs to be addressed, it can be a discussion, it could be a signing of a paper that the discussion has taken place, can be put in the file, you know, and then when the formal evaluation comes up, you know, that can be addressed, and if it's no longer an issue, put it away. But I think that people need to be evaluated on a regular basis. They need to feel comfortable about how they're being perceived. I mean, that's no fun to be doing a job and wondering if your boss thinks you're doing a good job or not. You know, you want to know. You want to feel that you're being supported. You want to feel that that you can get what you need to do your job. So that's a process of relationship building that I think happens continuum. So the formal thing, though, probably at least once a year. I think that's even by code. It has to be once a year. But I've always used an evaluation form that usually assesses not only your performance and skills, but also your attitudes, your inner relationship with the rest of the staff and other people, your accessibility, your functioning and your personality, you know, how it interrelates with the group. So. I think evaluation of staff is one of the most important things that a manager does, because the staff is really the way that work gets done for the borough. And it's not, you know, all, it's like the manager's like the shepherd, kind of, and just take care of the flock. And that's, evaluations takes care of the flock.
Follow up? Oh, yeah. I appreciate that philosophy. What is your actual experience doing formal evaluations?
With KHNS, I evaluated every employee. At KDRW, I evaluated the men. Not every employee. I didn't deal with on-air personalities. And let's see, evaluating, I mean, I've had several jobs throughout the state with public radio stations. So basically my evaluation of public radio station employees. Also, as a borough assembly member, and in the early days, the borough assembly school board, we evaluated the superintendent of schools. That was a big evaluation effort. And as the manager, and as the assembly member, the evaluation of the manager was a annual event. So that was an experience there.
Any other? Okay. This one is, seems to be a theme that's popped up several times, so I'll ask this pointed one.
Well, this is staff.
Well, yeah, good point. But I was just, the Painsboro has a reputation for having hotheads on all sides of issues. How have your past experiences shown that you can keep a cool head in times of stress?
I would hope that I could. It's a goal of mine. As I said, I'm very aware that I can be an impatient person, and I can be frustrated with knuckleheads. But I think that please repeat the questions.
Sure.
Make sure.
How have your past experiences shown that you can keep a cool head in times of stress?
Okay. I think that we all know that I have, in the course of my life, taken positions on government issues, and the most recent one was my objection to the specific harbor design. I I was able to meet my own standards of presentation and argument during that like 2-3 year process. I made my opinions known, I think in a rational manner, without getting personal with people, even though people could get personal with me. And that's not always easy, to bite my tongue or to try to get above personal assault or even criticism. I try to approach criticism openly. If somebody has a criticism, I usually say, wow, that's interesting that you think that way. Tell me more. And that, you know, I do have an exploratory, reaction, I guess, to most personal or personal criticism or even professional criticism. I really like to know what other people think. And even if it's not expressed in a way that's unhurtful, I still will explore it. So I'm not aware that I have a reputation for being a hothead or, for being emotional. I'm aware of being frank. I'm aware of being to the point. I'm aware of being able to shut somebody up. But those are characteristics that fall into that category of like trying to be, a better, more open, more responsive person. So, you can tell me later if I have a totally off perception of myself. But I really don't think I'm viewed as a hothead.
I didn't mean this question implied that. It has a reputation.
Well, somehow that's where I went with it.
Okay, well. All right, any questions? Oh, Leslie.
Just expanding on that, oftentimes in Haines, because we're a small town and some of us have lived here a long time, we have our personal opinions about things. What is your philosophy on balancing your personal opinion on projects that are going on and what is, say, in the comprehensive plan or something that you might not agree with personally, but you have to pursue?
Well, like I said earlier, the administration is not political, and I do appreciate that. And in a way, sometimes I think, wow, Deborah, you think that going into a managerial position might allow you more control or more power, if that would be the word. But, that's not necessarily so. Because as an administrator, I would be directed to work on a position. But I also have, a manager would also have the ability to present. Am I good? Am I able to set it aside? I think that I am. I know I have a reputation for being tenacious and persistent. I do know that. But I think that my appreciation for the value of the full, community input and staff input to a problem or an issue, I think that's, at this point in my life, more more important, than having my way. I mean, obviously, have a harbor. And I've been asked that in relation to the harbor, like, Deborah, what would you do? If you were the manager, would you, stop the harbor project? Of course not, of course not. And all of the projects that are sort of in the works right now, they're in the works because that's where the community has taken it. if I can see a way of impacting something in a way that might be more efficient, or might be more inclusive, or might be more beneficial to the community as a whole, then I might pursue that. But in terms of thinking something is not right, but it's what everybody else wants, that's my problem, you know, and I've got to go home and work on that, take a walk, you know, or many, you know, to overcome that. So no, it's not, the managerial position is not one where one asserts their point of view, and they can until the decision is made, but after the decision is made, then conduct and execution is what is the main thing. So I'll shut up. Yeah.
Any others right now? Okay. Going back to communication with staff, how do you communicate with staff, and how will you ensure clear communication between the assembly staff and department heads?
How can I ensure that? Well, I think that I don't know what staff is used to in terms of communications with the manager, but I'm a stop off at the desk, stop off at the office kind of person. I imagine myself in the role of manager as being, you know, as visiting you at your place and find out what's going on. And so that kind of communication, I think, would be a constant. In terms of staff meetings, they need to take place. I think that can be as a way of just connecting everybody that's not, you know, necessarily seeing each other, gaining an appreciation for what's happening in other people's departments. I'm sure it's possible that, you know, like the public works department probably doesn't know what's happening at the museum. I don't know, but probably not. So I think that with staff, the question sort of makes me think that there are issues with communication among the staff, so I don't know that, I'd have to find that out. But communication with the assembly and communication with the community, I've thought about things like maybe you know, having a 15-minute radio talk show, you know, like talk to the manager what's happening, you know, in the community, you know, representing the staff, representing interests of the government per se, and what we're doing, you know, to the community. That's a communication vehicle or avenue there. The other thing that I've thought about with the assembly is the possibility, and when I was on the assembly, this was discussed, but it was never materialized. And that was the possibility of either having like a half an hour before a meeting, or maybe one of the meetings per month being more of a open session, not necessarily a committee of the whole, but a give and take talk session, question answer kind of thing, so that the meetings themselves, when you get down to the business, don't become these long, you know, hour and a half, you know, debates or whatever, where people where the assembly is struggling to have a better understanding of what the issues might be. Other communities do that, you know, like one meeting of the month will be just a talk meeting, it won't be a business meeting. But there are other ways that can be done, but I do, you know, think that the assembly, the communication of what the staff, government, administration is doing with the assembly, I think is a very important thing to emphasize and work on in our government processes right now. Could be wrong about that, but it seems that way to me when I sit in the audience of an assembly meeting, that's something that could be improved.
How would you deal with community criticism against a department head or a department?
Wow. Well, I can't be that general. I mean, I'd have to see how that came forward, but...
There was a more specific question. Well, there was that question, another question, and then one specifically about some of the stuff, community criticism against the police department right now. So I combined them all into that.
You know, okay, like you say, small town, everybody knows, they think they know everything. First of all, I think the direct answer to the question is how would I deal with criticism of a department? I think that the manager is the defender of the staff. And if there is no, I mean, excuse me, not no, but if there is a validity to a criticism, that the acknowledgement of that, I think, needs to be done with sensitivity and with appreciation. It's not a good thing to slam, you know, your own employees or your department ever. But all, I think, communications or representations of what the government is doing and how it's operating and functioning needs to be done in a supportive way that communicates to the community and to those who are addressing or offering the criticism. You know, this is going to sound corny, but we're all human beings. And that is one of the most essential things that needs to be understood, that criticisms can be hurtful, but they can also be a point of learning. And if you take the road or the attitude that their criticisms can have validity to them and they can be learning, a launch for learning and a launch for change and a launch for making things better, then it can be handled, I think, and addressed in that manner.
Any questions? Okay. How much time do we have? 10 minutes. How do you define executive management?
Well, executive means execute. So given directive from the assembly. But again, and I started out with this idea that yes, the manager executes directives from the assembly, but the manager also has the opportunity and the right to, through research, develop recommendations, develop positions, and advocate for XYZ. But as I said, after the decision is made, then that's where you go. Did you ask what was my definition of it? I'm sorry, I got carried away.
How do you define it?
Yeah. Does it need more explanation than that? Executive management. One of the important things about executive management is to be informed. It's not enough to react impulsively or just because it's a way that was done before or this is how it's always been done or have a hunch. I think it's very important to be informed in the execution of any action that takes place. So that for me, I would say that any action that is taken needs to be defended with research of either, you know, other experienced people, how others do things, and the law. I mean, that's always an important thing to research. Policy. And I know that Haines, our government, we do have a lot of ordinances. We don't always have a lot of policy, and that's kind of how we do things, and that I think can be developed more in the community and in the government. But you know, it's not really something that I can speak to what needs to be done in the Haines Borough because I'm not there yet.
Okay, I have two. We have narrowed it down to final two here with 10 minutes or 8 minutes. How do you view the role of borough government in keeping the cost of government down while providing the services residents view as important?
Okay, can you repeat that, please?
Sure. I think this is from the department head. How do you view the role of borough government in keeping the cost of government down while providing the services residents view as important?
Well, that is the role of government, to know what the people want, know what the people need, figure out a way to deliver it. And I think that one of the things that we lack in the community sometimes is an appreciation for what things cost and the willingness to pay for it. And I have, even as an assembly member, been kind of critical of our cheapness sometimes. I mean, we want the best for ourselves. I mean, we want the best in almost everything that we do, but when it comes time to saying how we're going to pay for it, we don't all jump up and say, I'll pay for it. But on the other hand, the fact that people do it privately, you know, I mean, so much money comes out of people's pockets and they're directed to some other many activities in the community, whether it be the radio station or be the museum or, you know, so many other activities in the community, demonstrates to me that the community really is willing to pay for what it wants. So in some ways, the answer to the question would be there needs to be much more open discussion to discover what our limits are in terms of paying for what we want. I'm not convinced that the borough citizenry is necessarily opposed to paying more taxes, for example. I think it's possible to do a budget you know, that delivers what people need and want, and make them prideful in the community, and still be happy to pay for it. Right? But I think it's everybody's, you know, job to, you know, to speak to that issue, quite honestly. I've been to many public meetings where people say, I'll pay more, but it never seems to, like, you know, get to that point. And so then we have a lot of programs and projects that, you know, don't get done to the, you know, to the standards that the community would like to see sometimes.
Anybody have any more follow-ups from the audience?
Leslie. Sorry, I didn't write down any of my questions, so I feel like that. What is your input on a solution to the economic development or lack of economic development department or head? And if it is supporting the HEDC, how do you see the borough?
Well, the HEDC was something I wanted to do when I was an assembly member. So it was through the Chamber of Commerce that the whole HEDC idea materialized. It has, it's broken off from the Chamber right now, so I'm not really engaged or involved in the discussions about how it sees itself working, you know, internally. But I am an advocate of a public-private partnership for economic development. And that would even go into the tourism department too, where we need to bring in those people who are most directly engaged and involved in benefiting from tourism, you know, into a public-private partnership. I see that as so successful in other communities. Sitka, Petersburg, Wrangell, Skagway, they all have economic development entities that are separate from the borough. And I did not believe that the engagement that we had for that short period of time with an economic development director didn't end up positively, but even while it was functioning, it seemed to me that it had a hard time separating from the politics of the organization. The economic development director, it appeared to me from the outside, was often directed by, you know, the manager. And to have a single person be directing, you know, how the community is going to evolve economically, that seems very short-sighted to me. I think that the forces of the marketplace need to be encouraged and promoted, and I think that that can be done with people who are engaged in business activities and who know investment and who can recognize where there's opportunities and what needs to be bolstered. So I am a supporter of that public-private partnership. I know it starts off heavy on the public, but hopefully in time it would gain more participation from private enterprise. But I do favor that. Does that answer your question?
Okay. Oh, it's for staff. I'm sorry. Tonight, though. You better come tonight. Okay, so we have one, just a couple minutes left, about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Last question. Why should the employees recommend you as the next manager?
Well, that's tough. I can appreciate many things in the turmoil in the situation. I know that there are members of the staff that have been promoted into other positions, and that if I were chosen, it would be disruptive. But I believe that I have your best interests at heart. I look around and I see a group of people who have taken on responsibility for, you know, making a certain function of government work. And, you know, I want to support that. I want to see you be the best that you can be. And I want you to be able to deliver what you know you can deliver. And I want, in the end, for you to say, damn, Deborah's the best boss I ever had. I'm not even a boss, really, but I'd really like to have that opportunity to, you know, work with you and you work with me to bring the community, you know, to move us, you know, to the vision that I think we all have for a productive, caring, and supportive community. That's what I'd like to do.
Thanks, Deborah.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't get through every single question, but I think we got through the majority of the themes.
Okay, so. All right. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And like I say, where's the police department?
They're policing.
Oh, okay. I really did. I had this vision like they were all going to be standing back there.
And there's clipboards back there, and Brad will be here about 10:30, and we'll start our same process over with Brad at 10:30. So, but all these forms need to be turned in at the end of this period for Deborah.
One thing that I, if I can volunteer this, I do. I was thinking about, you know, whether or not, you know, Brad would be here, because one of the things that for me I have to recognize is that if I were chosen and if I chose to come in and be the manager, that, you know, I'd be working, hopefully, with Brad. And to have him, you know, not hear and share that sense that we would be working together is just felt kind of awkward to me, because I think that he's a pretty big part of the entire operation of the borough government.
And I
know.
I just wanted to
say something to the staff. Does somebody need one?